When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Hey, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
I watched the first half of You Only Live Twice.
I watched the second half of You Only Live Twice.
Hey, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
I watched the first half of You Only Live Twice.
I watched the second half of You Only Live Twice.
And this
is the other half.
Watch till you can't. Watch till you can't.
What's stupid is I could totally do this in post. There's literally no reason for us to say it.
Making it easier on you.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know what the song is for this one.
You only live twice. You only live twice.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's really
I think I heard
really
the credits
bad.
And I immediately forgot it. Like, Thunderball was not great, but it was better than this.
It's a shame because they got Nancy Sinatra, who's like...
Nancy fucking Sinatra.
I know.
But they tried getting Frank Sinatra, and then they're like, nah.
This song... Yeah, the opening was bad. Like, across the board. It wasn't even very well, like, animated either. Like, the cool,
like
visuals.
The visuals weren't cool.
It was just, like, ladies silhouettes.
Sexy.
But they were Japanese women.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And then also... volcanoes and stuff. So
So I wanted to make a note about You Only Live Twice real quick.
Is okay.
That people apparently people were saying that this was the person adapting it, Dahl, said that
Roald Dahl. That is who it is.
Really?
Roald Dahl wrote this.
Are you fucking kidding me?
That's in my notes. The Roald Dahl wrote the script for this.
I wrote that down because I was looking for the notes and I was like, what? That can't be the Roald Dahl.
It is him.
Oh wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Also said, apparently, this is the only adaptation of his work in film that he's ever loved.
Well, so he did say, Dahl said the original novel was Fleming's worst book.
Yeah, that's what I read too.
It had no plot, and it wouldn't even make a movie, and he compared it to like a travelogue.
Which is not untrue if we compare it to some of the other movies in this series.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they already are kind of travelogue-y, right? Like, they're already about, like, you know, vacation porn, kind of. But
yeah.
Now they're like, Japan, though.
Yeah.
Y'all get it. This is like... Hey, y'all want to become weebs? This is before anime.
The
but
biggest
you know.
Weeb of them all, Roald Dahl.
Roald Dahl? I think I've known for some other things that are less good. But...
Weeby Wonka.
You know, Oompa Loompa is my favorite anime character.
Imagine like a bunch of Oompa Loompas and Naruto running around.
That got me.
Yeah,
that got me, dude.
The
movie, my favorite ninjas.
Yeah, I know. So the movie opens. He's wearing that fucking fedora still.
Hell yeah. I didn't mention
it. The
fedora same
off.
Thing in the
I'm
last
sure he
movie.
Was.
I forgot.
And the movie opens with a spaceship in the middle of space. And I'm like, whoa, this is pretty cool.
Oh, I love space.
I love space. And then all of a sudden... A bigger spaceship comes up and eats that spaceship up and fucking swallows it up. And there's one astronaut.
Let's fucking go. Jumping the shark.
There's one astronaut. We already did that the last movie.
That's
a bunch
true.
Of
there's
sharks.
A lot of sharks in that one, yeah.
There's one astronaut that's just like outside of the spaceship. And when the giant spaceship opens up and eats that spaceship, that other astronaut's just sort of like left to float around
oh,
in
no.
space.
Oh, no. I got screwed.
And dies.
Right.
I will say, so as we've mentioned how Roald Dahl wrote this one. This movie has some wacky shit in it, and I kind of love it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's pretty goofy.
I think it's probably one of the better written movies.
Really?
In my opinion.
Wow.
Yeah, there's some fun shit that they
do.
All
that anti-Semitism that you liked?
Oh, yeah. Love the... Well, luckily there's no anti-Semitism because there's no Jewish
They're
people
like, let's go to, let's go Japan.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing he can't be weird about here.
Yeah,
he can't be weird here.
True. There are definitely some weird moments, which we will be getting
oh,
into.
Oh, boy. There are some weird moments indeed.
Oh, yeah. So, a meeting amongst Americans, Soviets, and the British is very tense because the Americans assume that the Soviets are the ones that are behind the giant spaceship that eats rockets.
Classic.
Yeah.
Classic Russian move.
But the British are like, we think actually the Japanese are behind it because we've gotten record of like blah 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 blah.
They're like, no, we hate Russia.
Yeah, basically. And so the Americans who are dumb are like, we are in 3 weeks, we're gonna launch another rocket ship, and if anything happens to that rocket ship, we will consider it a symbol of war, and we're gonna fucking fire.
This is such a funny way to do the space race. We're just gonna launch them up, and why are we launching them up? No mission in sight. We're just launching them up. We're launching them as fucking bait at this point.
Yeah, basically. If anything happens to that bait,
it's war.
We're going to kill your asses.
Oh, my God.
And so, but the British are like, we have our top men working on this right now. We hard cut James Bond in bed with the girl. Oh. Then all of a sudden, the lady presses a button and the bed swings up with James Bond in it. And a guy comes up and just starts shooting up the bed.
Oh, hell yeah. That's kind of awesome.
And then the police show up and they pull the bed down and James Bond is dead.
Oh.
Blood everywhere.
Whoa.
Dead. He is dead.
You got your wish, Mike.
I got my wish.
Damn.
James Bond is
it's
dead.
It's crazy they recast James Bond so quickly in this.
Well, and that's actually one of the funnier things, because then the intro starts and it says like with Sean Connery. And I'm like, well, I mean...
How are they gonna do that?
So they have a burial at sea for James Bond, and Bond's body is dumped into the middle of the ocean. There's news about a dead naval officer, which is front news of the news, like news of like front paper news, front page news. And I'm just like, they don't even say anybody's name. This guy's a secret agent. Like, I don't know if this is like front
there's a guy
page
who's
news.
Dead
guy dies,
no information released.
And then some guy is like watching this with via binoculars, and he's a little mustache. I don't know who he is, but he might come into play later, maybe.
Yeah, a little mustache,
yeah,
binoculars.
With binoculars. I don't
is he
know
a Japanese guy.
I don't know, because he had binoculars in front of his face. I just saw the mustache.
Are you expecting to find a guy with just a mustache?
A tiny little mustache. No? Nah, whatever.
I don't think so.
Whatever. So then the body is dropped into the middle of the ocean, and is as it lands on the bottom of the ocean, a bunch of divers show up, and the body is brought into a submarine, and they open up the body bag, and inside is James Bond, perfectly fine, alive. And then he says,
in the body bag.
And then he says, mission to come aboard. He's okay. A cheeky monkey.
Cheeky
so then he walks over and he tosses the hat on the fucking hat rack. But now the hat is a naval officer's hat. But we still got that hat rack joke. And he talks to Penny or Money Penny. And he says he didn't get the fuck. She's like, did you finish off with that? Oh, you're going to say something.
No, I was just looking up people with mustaches. There's like three people with mustaches.
It's fine. I'm sure it's not a problem. Just brought him up because maybe it'd be important later. So.
They're off of Spectre, though, so...
I'm sure they are. I mean, anybody with a mustache, you can't trust them.
Can't trust them, Mike says.
You can never trust
mustache
with
caressing the microphone he's using.
So, he says... He's talking to Moneypenny. Moneypenny's clearly jealous because, obviously, like, that whole charade at the beginning of the movie was something that, you know, MI6 and, you know, M and all them...
Coordinated,
basically, to make it look like James Bond was dead, so nobody would be...
Well, every fucking... movie so far is Spectre being like, I want to kill James Bond.
Yeah,
number
yeah, yeah.
One especially. So
there you go. This was all a ruse, you see, because the mission is so dangerous and he's got 3 weeks to figure out what's going on with those rockets. Who is eating the rockets?
Who's eating those rockets?
Who is eating those rockets? So how does he get out of this submarine to get to wherever he's supposed to go? To Japan, I guess.
He has to get a ride there.
Yeah. He's loaded up into a torpedo hole and they shoot him out of the submarine like a torpedo.
These movies are insane now.
I kind of love it.
Yeah.
I kind of love it. So he's got to get in contact with a guy named Henderson in Japan. He mentions that he took a class in Oriental language in Cambridge.
Okay.
So he knows.
Oriental language.
That's what he says.
They're all just one.
They're
big
all one
language.
Big language.
Yep.
And he knows them all.
Sure.
So James Bond goes to a sumo wrestling competition and meet with a person who will connect him with Henderson. And he is told that in order to know that the person that you're working with is working with MI6, mm-hmm. The code phrase is I love you. So
that's a pretty bad code phrase.
It is, because it's because every so often
common.
He has to talk to someone and he goes like, how do you feel about me? And they have to go like, I love you.
Weird.
So he says I love you to this one lady, and she's like, I work with Henderson. So she drives him over to Henderson's house. But then there's some other lady who's following James, and she's got like short hair. She's talking in her purse. I don't know if she comes into play later.
She might.
Also noted that this whole like sumo wrestling competition was just an excuse to show off sumo wrestling.
That's the thing. Most of this is just like We're here in Japan. It's fucking cool here.
As much as Roald Dahl was like accusing the movie, the original book, of being like a travelogue, like
he wrote it. Well, to be fair, he might have not written that part in.
I think he probably didn't. I also do think it's kind of a clever thing of like, all right, well, he has to go to a sumo wrestling competition. Why is he there? Well, he's got to meet with somebody, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
You kind of write like a plot around it a little bit.
It's like being like, oh, you know, I'm in Chicago. I got to go to a Cubs game to meet someone.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
It's like you got to go to like the
got to go somewhere thing. Public, yeah. Right? So, he ends up meeting up with Henderson. Henderson is a false leg. I wrote all this information about Henderson, but I didn't need to because something happens to him. Henderson makes Bond a drink, stirred, not shaken. Ooh. Bond doesn't say anything. He's a very nice guy.
Yeah, what a good guy.
He, in fact, he actually compliments the Russian vodka inside of it. He says, this vodka is very good. And then Henderson's like, there's this guy, he's working for Japanese Secret Service. He goes by the codename Tiger or Tanaka. He's going to be your most valuable connection. Nobody knows what he looks like. He's very quiet. He's very difficult to find.
Yeah, like
okay?
a ninja.
Like a ninja. And so then Henderson is about to reveal who he suspects is behind all this, but then he stops talking. And then he falls forward, and it's because of those like paper walls that they're in that someone just stabbed through the wall into the back of Henderson, and Henderson is dead.
Oh shit!
So James Bond goes and he kills the hitman, and the hitman's wearing like a face mask, like one of those like COVID face mask type of things.
Oh really? Like
yeah.
COVID one has like not like a balaclava.
No, like a face mask to cover just your nose and your mouth. And then. But the headman has like a getaway driver.
Headman's
and so,
got a cold. You gotta be respectful for him.
He's gotta be respectful when he's trying to kill people.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't want to get anyone else sick.
Yeah, he's a very nice hitman. He's like, everyone else will be fine.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. But if you're on my list, it's over for you, bud.
Yeah.
None of your friends and family will get COVID or
that'd be a pretty
flu.
Great way is like a hitman is just like pull the mask down, cough on someone, just pull the mask back up again. And then in like 2 weeks,
leave
that guy's gonna
leave.
Be dead. So Bond ends up using that face mask, puts it on his own face, and acts as if he's injured and slips into the getaway driver's car in the back of the car, in order to figure out like where is this guy from, you know, like where's the getaway driver going back to? Mm-hmm. Who do these henchmen work for? And because the driver's a fucking idiot, doesn't decide to check in on his friend at all, who's in the back moaning rather than speaking, you know, back to him in the language that they both can speak. And so he's brought to a big company called Osato.
Sure.
Osato.
Sure.
The guy who's the getaway driver is this big fucking large guy. And I'm like, why wasn't that the guy that killed somebody? Like, he's a pretty big, like, large
gotta get
dude.
Away pretty quick.
That's true, actually. Yeah, he's a better driver than he is a fighter. So James Bond fights him. I wrote down the fight scenes are getting much better, and also they're using stuntman clearly. Like, there's one point where
like, man, you know, Sean Connery's he's not that great.
He can't do that. Like, there's one bit where the henchman has James on his like back, and he like twists him over, like tosses him over his shoulders, and James Bond lands, but he lands like right in front of a chair so you can't see who it is.
That's funny.
You know, so it's that kind of stuff.
You know, it's kind of weird. This is a side tangent, but
sure.
Like I was looking up ages of James Bond actors.
Oh yes.
Just because I was curious. And like Sean Connery was like one of the young there's another one I think who's younger. I can't remember the exact name of him, but he was definitely like the youngest James Bond in most of his movies. Like the actor was the youngest.
That is impressive.
And like, I think Pierce Brosnan was like
the oldest.
Like, no, he was not the oldest, but when he started, he was up there with like, I think he was like 41 or 42, but like he did not look that, he did not look as old as Sean Connery
did in his mid 30s.
Early 30s, yeah.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, he's still looking pretty. I mean, you know that the men did different things in the different times, right?
Different like, time periods. Some of them were out
they
there.
They took care of themselves.
Some people were just out there raw dogging it, not sunscreen at all.
Smoking, just, drinking.
Yeah, all that
yeah,
good stuff.
Yeah.
Not like we're doing now.
Not like we're doing right now.
Yeah, cheers,
glug,
buddy.
Glug, 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 glug. Delicious. Siamese vodka, yuck, which brings me back to the movie where James Bond ends up beating up the henchman and then has a little celebratory drink and it's Siamese vodka and he doesn't like it. And he hides the henchman somewhere. And then he breaks into a safe using some kind of like code breaker. The scene was actually pretty cool because he's about to get caught by the guards because they're like going to check on all the different rooms, but then they don't end up going into the room that he's in and he's able to open up the safe. But as he opens up the safe, an alarm goes off. So he grabs some random paper from inside the safe. I don't even know if he knew what he was trying to grab, but he grabs it anyway. And then he escapes. And then the lady who drove James Bond to Henderson is there. And she picks him up. She saves him.
Huh.
And he gets in the car with her. We learn that her name is Akai.
Okay.
And she's there to save James Bond. And she drives James Bond around. And he's just like, oh, what were you? Like, he's kind of suspicious, but he's also just like flirting with her most of the time.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they're in like a random alleyway and she stops her car. She's driving and then she just runs out of the car and he like chases her and they're running down these like long, like concrete hallways. And then they get to this one hallway and this part was awesome. This is probably my favorite part of the whole movie. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
All right. And I showed this to my wife and she liked it too.
So, so it's not just me. So it's not just me being Bond pilled. Okay.
Yes. I'm not being Bond pilled.
Sometimes
right
you
now.
Have to do that and be like, okay, especially when you're doing a watch till you can't, because you're just
yes.
like,
am I poisoned?
Yeah. Is my poison? Is my brain like my expectations and quality are just different now than what they should be normally.
But I don't think I'm false here. I think this is a good bit. So the lady is at the end of this hallway. And James Bond is at the other end of the hallway and there's stairs going up and she's wearing like heels. I'm like, there's no way she's going to get away from him at this point. He's way too fast. And she sort of like looks back at him and he looks over at her and she just stands there looking at him. She sort of like smiles and then he smiles back like, I've got you. And then he walks over to her down this like hallway to get to her. And she just sort of stands there and she just like smiles at him as he arrives up to her. And then as he's midway through the hallway, mm-hmm. it's revealed that the hallway is actually a trapdoor and he falls down.
Dumbass.
That shit rocked. I had to watch that shit 3 times. I couldn't stop laughing. I showed my wife. She was laughing.
That's amazing.
It feels like a Roadrunner, like Wile E. Coyote bit.
Incredible.
Because it's like one long, and I was just like, oh no, it's that one bit that happens in every fucking James Bond movie when all of a sudden the lady who's being chased by James Bond ends up falling in love with him.
Yeah.
No, he just falls down this trap
door.
Cool,
they're using the misogyny as like a joke now where it's like, oh yeah, you know, he always does this thing and it's a trick.
Didn't work this time. So he ends up falling into a chair underground and he meets with a man, Tanaka. Tiger! And Tanaka's like, it was really easy to capture you, dude. Like, it was really fucking easy.
You fucking suck at this shit.
You just get in any old woman's car.
You're fucking horny as shit, motherfucker.
Yeah, basically. And then he's like, so how do you feel about me? And this is when he goes, I love you, Mr. Bond. And he goes, well, I'm glad we got that out of the way.
That's pretty good.
So then he's like, so I found these papers in a safe in this building, and it seems like some kind of order, like for a naval store, and it has 50 containers of locks. And they're like, locks? Like
locks?
Yeah, like the fish? And then they're like, no, locks is apparently also a technical name for liquid nitrogen, which is used to make rocket fuel.
Okay.
So
I didn't know you used liquid nitrogen making rocket fuel.
Probably they don't.
Wow.
But they did use rocket fuel in the last movie to blow up a boat.
It was experimental fuel. I don't know if it was rocket fuel.
Maybe it's the same. So should we call him Tanaka or Tiger? What do you prefer?
I like Tiger.
Okay, so Tiger. Tiger has his own underground train to get around. And I'm like, why do you need an entire train car? Why don't you just have like, you know, one little like thing to get around? Why do you even need a train? But he's just like, I need to keep a low profile. And I'm like, you have a train
on the ground.
You have people working with you. So he gets in the train and some ladies in there and he serves them sake. And Bond's like, I like sake, especially when it's served at the correct temperature, 98.4 degrees. And and Tiger's impressed by that. And
that's what you do, like cheap sake. Is you make any hot sake, use a cheap sake.
Well, there you go. So, but apparently it's very cultured that he knows the right temperature to drink it at.
Body temperature?
Yeah. So James Bond found a photograph also amongst all those pieces of paper. They find the photograph. They blow it up. They have it, what am I saying? Not delivered, but developed.
Developed, yeah.
They develop the photograph. They blow it up. They're looking at it. And it's a random ship in a random place. They don't even know what it is. They don't know why it's important. But also there's like a little insignia on the side of the photo, which gives them information about how apparently this photo was originally taken by a tourist and then they killed the tourist because they wanted to keep the information of the photo secret.
Yeah.
But they don't know anything about the photo. They're like, where does this photo taken? What ship is this? We have to figure this out. So that's the mystery that they're on. So then Bond is taken back to Tiger's house. And up until now, I'm like, this Tiger guy seems pretty cool. You know, like, this movie's honestly pretty great. I like how this is what we always do, right? We're always like,
up
I've enjoyed
now,
the movie so far.
Up
this
until
is
now
good.
Is like the trigger word for me, where as soon as I hear that, I'm like, uh-oh.
So then he walks into Tiger's house, and all of a sudden, I want to say 10 women come out, and they're all dressed in their underwear. And Tiger's like, they're going to bathe us.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I'm like, how does he keep a low profile? What if one of these women are like moles or like work for a Spectre.
He's got a great public, he's got a great background check on
apparently. So he's like, here, Mr. Bond, there are two rules. One rule, never do anything for yourself that someone else can do for you. And rule number two, in the bath, men always come first and women come second.
Okay.
Yeah.
Real no thunderball in here.
Yeah. So then they go and they straight up just bathe together with these women like rubbing like soap all over them. Okay. And Tiger's like, you know, Japanese women like Americans because us Japanese men, we don't have hairy chests, but you have a hairy chest. And they find that interesting and attractive.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then the two of them just start talking about like, you know, espionage and like government secrets. And these women are just sort of like sitting around quiet, like, like objects, like just straight up objects in the room. And I'm like, what are we doing
like
here?
Like the guitar, dude.
It's so, like not even playing music. Yeah. So they're all just sitting around silently. And then Tiger's like, so, Mr. Bond, have you picked which of these ladies you would like to give you a massage? And so James picks like one of the random ladies. And then he gets like a massage from her. But then all of a sudden, another woman comes in and gives James Bond a massage. And it's the driver lady, Akai.
Akai.
I don't know. Is it Aki?
I don't know. That's just a character in Street Fighter we call Aki.
I'll say Aki.
It's the same spelling. Aki, right?
So. Yep, Aki. So then they bang. She's actually into him.
Oh, nice. No, that's cool.
Yeah.
I guess.
So
I don't know. There's nothing wrong. I feel like that's okay.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's just weird. I don't know why she's into him.
You know, he has a hairy chest.
So Bond thinks,
also, I love how he says Americans. He's not even American.
Yeah, actually, did I write American? Yeah, I think I did write Americans. Did I write Americans?
I don't know. It sounds like you must have. You said Americans.
I don't know. Either way.
Either way.
It was weird.
Yeah.
So Bond thinks that Asato, which is the giant company, is working with Spectre. And he says, I'd like to make an appointment with them. And he makes an appointment under the name Fisher to meet with Mr. Osato.
It's interesting how they're using like big Japanese companies, because it's like back then Japan was starting to kind of like rebuild and like start to become a powerful force and start to have like bigger corporations starting to pop up. And so now they're like, ooh.
Well, that's scary.
That might be scary to us with other corporations in America and UK. You know?
Yeah, exactly. So he's in the same room that he fought just the other night, like last night, I guess, and he's being watched. And then we're introduced to Miss Grant, who is Osato's secretary. She's a redhead.
Okay.
And Mr. Osato sits at his desk and he's like, Mr. Bond, please tell me what's going on here. And as James Bond is talking, it's revealed that Osato's desk is actually a giant like X-ray table and can actually see inside of James Bond's clothes.
Okay.
And so now he knows that James Bond has a gun.
Okay.
And he knows he's like dangerous. And I'm like, what is goofy hell is this?
Why do you need that?
Because he's suspicious of everyone.
I guess so.
You know, you can't run a giant multinational evil corporation without having a X-ray vision desk.
Sure. I remember reading in the back of my, in Boy Scouts, we got these magazines, Boys Life magazines, and they'd have like these ads in the back.
Oh, yeah, for X-ray glasses and
X-ray glasses. And I was like so curious about them. I'm like, oh, because they kept saying like you see behind clothes. And I was like, woohoo.
But you would, that's the thing though, right? I feel like if you
were. It never really worked, right?
Well, I was going to say, I feel like if you went to your mom and dad or whatever and asked like, hey, can I order these? They'd be like, no, you little pervert. We're not going to get you X-ray glasses.
Yeah, that's definitely not what happened. And I never got to know what they worked like. Yeah.
They did get them for you?
No, they didn't.
Oh.
Because probably that.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it'd be cool.
That'd work.
I don't even know how what the fake effect would even look like, you know? Because obviously they don't work.
Yeah, probably, I don't know.
It probably like just doubles, so it makes it look like their arm is like doubled, so maybe you have like, your arm is your bone, but then you have a bigger arm around it. I don't know.
I think we're going to have to put this together ourselves.
We're going to have to go order some. I'm going to get some old boys live. Yeah. Call those old numbers.
Let's do an X-ray vision. We should do an X-ray vision glasses like comparison. Like, what is it? Like the tier list. So we just buy like 10 of them.
Yeah, and we, like, do a tier list. I wonder if you can, like, I bet there's.
I'm sure they do.
It's gotta be someone on Amazon, right?
I'm sure that they're selling like weird AI videos now, like on TikTok, where they're like, "Do you want to see through clothes? Get these X-ray vision glasses."
Yeah, this is some good stuff. Well, they got
some good stuff.
Why is one this? Okay, I just looked up the first one. I looked up.
Yeah,
$1,600. We're not gonna buy one of those.
Well, I mean, what if it works though?
I mean, I don't even know if it'll be worth it. Like, what am I going to do with that?
I don't know. Yeah, at this point, what would you do with that?
At this point, I'm old and not perverted anymore.
Sure. Yeah, you just thunderball.
Sure. I just thunderball like a normal person. Yeah. There's just other glasses called X-ray. I'll look at more into this off the stream.
Okay,
off
sounds
the stream, off the podcast.
Off the podcast. So anyway, he's got an X-ray desk. And so after James Bond leaves, Osato orders his men to kill James Bond. And in the parking lot, some dude just like pulls a gun and starts shooting at James Bond. So there's a big ass car chase that happens in the middle of the day.
How is it?
It's actually pretty cool. The car chase is getting a lot better. And it's also in the middle of the day. And it's also all over like Japan. The only problem with it, and this is a consistent problem, and it's kind of something they can't get around, is like the outsides of the car chases look really cool. But then you go inside the cars and it's all rear screen projection and it looks like ass.
It never looks good.
Because like he's being driven by what's her name? Akai?
Aki.
He's being driven by Aki. She's like got long hair and it's like no wind in it whatsoever, but they're driving super fast. So it's like,
that's weird to not even add that. Like that's just a fan.
Yeah. But maybe they didn't want to mess her hair up, you know?
Sure.
I don't know.
Probably. She's like, you can't do that.
So how are they going to get out of this? So she ends up getting on the radio and calling up Tiger and is like, Tiger, we need help. We're getting chased. And so Tiger sends a giant helicopter to come with a big magnet. And a magnet comes down and it picks up the car that's chasing after them, picks it up and just drops into the middle of the ocean.
Whoa.
And I'm like, this motherfucker cannot have a low profile.
No.
How does nobody know who this guy is?
Seriously.
Yeah. So Bond is like, hey, can we get in contact with M and request that Little Nelly come over?
Little Nelly.
I really want to see Little Nelly. Can he bring Little Nelly over? And I'm like, who is Little Nelly?
Little Nelly.
Yeah. So Bond goes to where Osata stores chemicals on the dock. Crew guys attack Bond and Aki.
Uh-huh.
Is there and with James Bond and James, this scene is so stupid. James Bond is just like, go in contact with Tiger, go and leave me alone. And she's like, I won't go without you. And he's like, go, you have to go. And there's this big, long, wide helicopter shot of Bond just like beating up a bunch of dock workers as he's like on the run. Uh-huh. It's like really far away. It's very weird. It almost feels like a third person shooter or something like that.
Okay.
And then he nearly escapes. But then he gets fucking knocked out and then he wakes up and he's all tied up in a room with Miss Grant, the evil secretary.
Oh, right.
Of Osata. She's a redhead.
Redhead.
And she's going to torture him.
Yeah, I believe her name is Helga Brandt, right?
Oh, I thought it was Grant.
Oh, it's Helga Brandt. And according to IMDb. So.
Okay, well, she's evil.
And she is evil.
And she's like, I'm going to torture you to get information out of you.
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, well, you're not going to get any information out of me. And then she starts to kiss him.
Oh, she's using the Bond move on him.
Yeah.
Damn.
And then he spills everything.
Really?
And he's just like,
fucking pussy.
He's like, I'm actually a spy. My name is James Bond. I am, you know, I'm working against
this guy,
your boss.
His best tactic is being horny, and is also his weakness is being horny. I mean, that's kind of what Goldfinger was all about, right? Like, he's trying to resist.
So I was in the same boat as you. I was like, this is fucking genius. She doesn't have to cut him at all. She doesn't have to bleed any blood. She just has to kiss him, and then he'll spill everything.
Yeah.
No. What? She keeps kissing him and unties him, and then they bang.
What?
Yeah.
So she's into it.
She's into
like,
it.
Actually, this is cool. I'm getting this information.
And then, at this point, I'm like, what is going on? This is stupid. This is a dumb, because I was in the same boat as you. I'm like, this is fucking genius.
Yeah,
like,
using his own like skills against him.
No. So they bang. And then he's like, I am going to get information against your boss. It's going to be very valuable information. I will split whatever money I make with you. And then we can go run off together. And then she's like, all right, that sounds great. So,
okay.
Then she gets in a plane with him and she's like flying him around in the plane and she's like doing her lipstick.
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, so, what do you think? What are we going to do? And then she's like, oh, Mr. Bond, I'm not going, you're not going anywhere. And then she like drops her lipstick that she was just putting on and it explodes.
Hell
and then
yeah.
She presses a button and it restrains him in the back of the plane. And then she puts on a jetpack. What is it called? A parachute. Uh-huh. Jumps out of the plane. leaves them to die in the airplane. And I'm like, what was all of this?
She just wanted a nut, dude.
I guess I don't. She wanted a thunderball.
She wanted a thunderball, dude. And you know what?
More power
to
her.
James Bond's been thunderballing over the place. It's time for Mrs. Grant to do it.
It's just such a weird thing where she did that, and then she's like, all right, let's get in a plane. Let's charter a plane. Let's get in the air. Like, I don't know.
Maybe those already scheduled.
I guess so. So he ends up, of course, getting loose, and he has to fly the plane, but he can't because it's falling too fast. So the plane just fucking smashes into some random runway, and he jumps out of the plane just as it's about to explode.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, so it landed. He's fine.
He's fine. And at first, it actually happened so quickly, I was like, was he in the plane?
Did he die again?
No, he's fine.
Okay.
So now he seems perfectly okay. Tiger tells Bond to stop chasing girls. And Aki's
good advice.
And Aki's there, and she's like, he only seduced that woman so that I could escape. He would never touch her. Isn't that right, Bond? And he's like, yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, totally.
Let me go talk to Miss Moneypenny over here.
And then all of a sudden speaking of Miss Moneypenny, then he gets a phone call and he hears that little Nelly is there.
Oh, finally, little
Nelly.
And he's
just like, little Nelly, she's a fast one. Yeah, where's my little girls? He says like, is my little girl hot and ready? He says. And I'm like, what is going on here?
It's a little tiny gun.
That's what I thought. No, it's actually a tiny little helicopter.
Aw.
It's a little mini helicopter.
Oh, it's like a gyrocopter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's got machine guns, rocket launchers, flame guns.
Q explain all this to him?
Yes, Q is the one that drops it off. But also, Bond keeps referring to this thing as like a girl, like a little girl. And I'm like, but also like a sexualized little girl. Like he's like,
guys are weird about that.
He's talking about like
cars.
He's talking to Tiger, and he's just like, you would really like this one. She's a fast one. She's a small one.
I guess it's just to be a joke to the audience, right? Where it's like, he's got another lady.
Though.
Yeah. It's very weird. Boomer humor where it's like, you know, this is not what you think it is, but I'm going to talk about it. I could thunderball her.
So he gets in the tiny little helicopter. He goes to spy on where the ship might be, but he doesn't find anything. He just finds volcanoes. And then all of a sudden, four helicopters show up out of nowhere. And he ends up killing, you know, ends up blowing them all up using this tiny little helicopter. And I don't know why, but the scene feels kind of like a video game. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, the James Bond theme is playing, and the way he's able to, like, dispatch these other helicopters, it just feels like GoldenEye.
He's pretty fast, dude.
It's pretty great. So, that's the end of my half of the movie.
Okay, so I see all the stuff explode, and he's in the little gyrocopter, and James Bond says, reports back to base, and they're like, how'd it go? And he says, report back that four big shots made some advances towards her, but she fought back.
There you go. There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
So rich coming from you. Coming from you.
Yeah.
And then I see a rocket being launched into the air. And then they rush, or someone comes and a bigger rocket comes and then chomps on the little rocket.
That's what the opening of the movie
is. But they did it again.
There you go. Doesn't it look goofy as hell?
It looks very funny. it's like, wait. What is happening? And then it re-enters Earth's atmosphere to this remote area with a building that has kind of like a crater, and it opens up the crater and it lands.
Oh.
It's very weird.
This is that volcano that he saw earlier.
Yeah. And then the Pentagon is like, because this is the Russians, by the way. This is not the Americans who got their ship eaten.
Oh.
This is the Russians.
Oh, okay.
And the Pentagon's saying that everyone already blames us Americans. And they're like, where are they coming from? And Americans assume the Russians just did it to themselves because that Japanese theory the British have is just too silly. Why would they do that? So then the rocket lands. The rocket with the other rocket inside of it lands on inside the crater. And this is a crazy set. This set, I cannot describe how fucking insanely big this set is. It's enough to fit a rocket, and there's a bunch of people walking around. And I'm like, there's no way they could scale this. There's just people just walking around this huge place that has like the ability to have a rocket in it. And it's like a cool lair. It looks sick as hell.
See, this is the kind of shit that blows me away when you tell me that like these things were like made in the course of a year. Like,
yeah.
Building sets like this, I think,
it's
like really nuts. Yeah.
Yeah. It's insane. Look, it's
and
very
lighting
impressive.
Lighting it too. Like,
yeah.
Crazy.
So anyway, so they capture everyone on the spaceship. You see evil man with a kitty, and I'm like, oh shit, it's Spectre. So I think, ever revealed it was Spectre in your half? I don't think it was.
No, it was just, he just suspected it was Spectre.
And it was. They capture the cosmonauts. Evil number one goes to his apartment, And he's like, I may call on you later. It's the redhead lady and then a guy with a mustache. Japanese guy with a mustache.
There you go. Probably the guy from the beginning.
Must have been.
Yeah.
And then the prisoners get on. This guy has a fucking monorail in his
Hell
base.
Yeah.
And I'm just, it looks so much like Tomorrowland from Disneyland. Like,
oh my
it's
God.
Like the rocket rods mixed with the monorail.
It's a great big beautiful tomorrow.
And then it just like, it goes, they get on this little monorail and they ride off. And then so the some of the Japanese guys show up and they talk to number one, who has this guy named Hans. Is Hans ever in your half at all? No.
What does he look like?
Some tall blonde guy. Big buff.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
But he and they're like, oh, our government's quite satisfied that you guys have been like taking control and like captured those Russians and sowing dissent between the US and the Russian states. So, you know, Japan can get bigger. And Hans has then got like a big thing of meat and he throws it into this water and the water's full of piranhas.
Not sharks.
Not sharks. Piranhas. That's why I'm like, oh, they're just using the creepy things in the water.
Yeah.
Another, again, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So then he's like, number one's like, yes, they can strip the man to a bone in 30 seconds. And he pulls out the meat and it's just bones. And he says, now, with that being said, I need a little advance on my payment. Can I get this money now? Like, could I get, like, he said, absurd amount, millions of dollars. And they're like, oh, we can't. No, we agreed that once the U.S. and Russia were actually at war, we would pay you. Until then, we're not getting anything. This is extortion.
Right.
Number one's like, that's what I do. Extortion.
I mean, yeah, if you're going to side with an evil man, like, don't be surprised when he double crosses your ass.
Yeah, and they're like, go talk amongst yourself. I thought he was honestly just going to throw him in the pit immediately.
Yeah, why not?
But then he calls in two other people. He calls in the mustache Japanese guy and the redhead lady. And
redhead lady is the lady from earlier.
Yes.
And then who's the mustache man? What's
Brandt.
His name?
I believe I'm looking online. His name is Mr. Osato.
Nope.
No?
Wait. Mr. Osato?
Yeah.
The old man?
Yeah.
Oh.
He has a mustache.
I guess I didn't realize he had a mustache.
He had a mustache.
Yes. Okay. So that's the guy that runs the giant corporation.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Okay. Got it.
Now we're all on the same page. So
We all figured it out.
So anyway, he says, like, a Walter PPK was in your office yesterday, but Mr. Bond was dead. And Mr. Sato's like, well, I gave number 11 the strictest rules to kill him.
I'm sure that didn't go wrong.
Yeah. And then, so then the lady, they're like, well, there's only one thing we can do. And then they push the lady into the piranha pool and she gets ate.
Oh.
She gets eaten.
Well, I hope fucking not just murdering him was worth it.
And they're like, Asada, kill him now.
Yeah.
Says. So then Bond lands this helicopter in Japan. And I thought this was a crazy thing because they were in Japan. Because I had no idea where they are still. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, he's in Japan. He flew all the way to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, bad news from outer space. We need your top men, someone tells him. And they're like, okay. Well, Bond-san. So he goes to a tiger. And Tiger goes, we'll help you with your journey. We have ninjas.
Oh, boy.
This is my ninja training school.
No, yes. This is so dumb.
And they're walking around, and there's people being like, yeah, yeah, ha, and they're throwing ninja stars. They're slicing things with a katana. One guy in a blue outfit's like really showing off all his cool skills he has. And then, like, Bond's walking through here, and Tiger's like, see, everyone's like really trained. Everyone's like really good. You know, we're all trained about classics, but let's see some modern ninjas. And this part made me laugh out loud because it's just a bunch of guys in ninja outfits with like the balaclavas on, you know, their eyes just, they're the only things out, and they just got guns and they're just marching. I'm like, that's modern, huh? And
that's
then they just stop
ninja.
And they just start shooting at like like straw people, like fake straw guys.
Oh my God.
So fucking funny.
Imagine being the non-modern ninja and they're like, can we get a gun too?
I'm like, no.
Yeah, no, that's the modern ninjas.
Let the modern ninjas do it.
Yeah.
And then he's like, Mr. Bond, we also have rocket guns. All of our bullets have rocket propulsion in the back of them. And then they land somewhere and then they explode. Also, we have this baby rocket. It's a cigarette. It's in a cigarette. If you light it, it'll shoot off. And he lights it and it shoots like a little rocket at something and it blows up. And he's like, this cigarette could save your life. And Bond says, you sound like a commercial. And then Bond says, what's the plan for me? Like, how am I supposed to, you know, get in there and like really blend in and kind of figure out what's really going on.
Uh-oh. Yellowface?
So he says, first, you must become a Japanese.
No.
Second, you must train hard, quickly to become a ninja. Then third, I give you extra special cover. You take a wife.
Oh, God.
Mike is just like, what is happening now?
What is going on? I liked this movie up until now.
So this lady has been following them the whole time, and she gets very excited. She seems excited about all this. I think it's Aki. Yeah, she's excited. She's like,
She loves him.
So she's like, ooh, you take a wife. And then, but Tiger says, sadly, it's impossible. You have to marry someone on the island, an Ama girl, which I guess is the island what it's called.
Mm.
And we have someone picked out for you. And Bond's like, is she pretty? And he says, she has a face like a pig. And Aki's like, it's your duty. I understand. So then I was like, okay, I don't know what becoming Japanese means. It means you probably like
I'm
learns
really
a bunch
nervous.
Of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be that like he's wearing racist makeup or anything, right? He wouldn't be doing that. That is so stupid if he was doing that. It's not that. Is it really that?
We cut to
no.
him laying down and a bunch of people around him, and he's getting fake eyes.
No! Are you serious?
Just all these Japanese people are putting fake eyes around him. But to be fair, it doesn't really look like he just looks like him. Like, they really didn't do anything. And they give him a fucking wig that's just, like, black hair.
Oh, my God.
So that, like, is very straight, you know, and very fine.
Sure.
And then they're about to wax his chest. And he says, can't you just do everything that shows? And all the ladies go, and I'm just like, what the fuck? Is this movie?
This is taking a turn. This is taking a big turn. So I don't know if I like this movie.
So
anymore.
Then he comes out and he goes to bed with the lady. I didn't know it was Aki. And he says, well, Tiger says you must do everything Japanese style. And she says, oh, really? And then they start smooching. And they get it on.
I guess like a Japanese person now.
I guess so. It's just like, it was just wild. I was just like,
crazy.
Really getting the eye prosthetics really got
that
me.
Is some dumbest shit. That feels like a Roald Dahl thing though, actually.
Yeah, a little bit, right? Yeah. He's like, we gotta look like him.
If you want to be Oompa Loompa, you have to dress him. you have to marry an Oompa Loompa. They put on a green wig.
Give him orange face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Classic. So then,
do I have to walk around on my knees?
Man, I remember like figuring that out when I was younger, that you could like pretend to look shorter if you just put your knees on.
Shoes
you put
on your
shoes
knees,
on your
yeah.
knees. And I thought that was the funniest shit. I did that shit for a while.
I bet you did. You still do that to this day.
Mike, I didn't want you to say that, but
well,
it's
you're
out there.
Balling.
I'm Thunderball. That's not Thunderball. That's Oompa Loompinin. Anyway, so they're sleeping after they smash, and someone sneaks on top of the roof, sees them both sleeping,
and
he lowers. This is so goofy. He lowers like a thread down.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what the fuck? He's just lowering a thread. It's like kind of tickling Bond's nose. And then he drips some sort of liquid on the thread so it goes right down to like where his face is. Mm. So I'm assuming it's poison.
Oh, gotta be.
But then he just is like, I'm sleeping. And he kind of just like rolls over a little bit. And then, of course, Aki, who's next to him, for some reason, comically, like leans forward to the string, like someone trying to get the last drop of water when they're starving in the desert in an oasis.
Yeah.
It's so goofy looking. She goes there and she gets like a little poison on her lips. And then she wakes up and goes, I can't breathe. And then Bond wakes up, sees this guy moving around, immediately fucking kills him, shoots him. And she's choking, and he goes back to her, and he's like, Aki, Aki. And her final words are, and then she dies.
Fuck that.
I know.
Dude.
I didn't know how much he really was, like, with her.
She loved him.
Man, that sucks.
Dude.
And he's just like, we have to stop these fuckers. And Tiger's like,
this is personal.
This is personal. Tiger's like, all right, well, you're almost ready. Just 2 more days of training. I'm like, 2 more days? Very specific.
Yeah.
So they're training outside, doing stuff, and then some guy actually, like, they're using, like, I don't know, like, bamboo sticks to kind of fight, and then this guy just looks at him suspiciously, presses a button, and a knife comes out of the bamboo stick, and he's like, oh, shit, and they start fighting, and then Bond grabs that stick and stabs the guy, because clearly he was not there practice. He was there to kill.
He was there to kill him.
And then Tiger was like, "You killed that guy." And he's like, "You tried to kill me first."
Yeah.
And he's like, "All right, well, tomorrow will be the end of your training. Tomorrow you'll be a poor Japanese farmer and take a poor Japanese wife."
Yeah.
And he says, "Yeah, with a face like a pig, right?"
Oink, oink.
He's like, yeah, sure, whatever. So then
she's got a butter face.
She's got a butter face. So the next day, all these ladies are arriving, and Bond keeps looking at them.
She's got a butter face, shaken, not churned.
All right, this podcast is over. I actually say we're not going to continue it anymore because of that.
Watch
Bond.
Till you can't.
Can't stand your co-host. So these ladies are arriving, and he keeps looking at them. They're all kind of like, not hot.
Okay.
And he keeps looking, and he's like, huh? And then, of course, the hot one
the
comes,
hottest one
and
of
that's
them all.
The one he gets married to.
Of course. Of the course, pig one.
The pig one. The one with the face like a pig.
Yeah. But it's a sexy pig.
Guess what her name is.
Piggy.
No. You're close, though. You got the right sound there.
I don't know. I genuinely.
Kissy?
Yeah.
That's an Ian Fleming
one. I hate that shit.
You know what's funny is I was reading that apparently Dahl was like, well, let me go to my notes here real quick. But there was something about like he was given free reign of the script, except for the character of Bond and the quote unquote the girl formula, which involves three women for Bond to seduce, an ally, a henchman who will get killed, and then the main Bond girl.
Right.
And then the third involved a character from a book, Kissy, and Dahl had to create Aki and Helga Brandt to fulfill the rest.
Okay.
So Kissy was the only one there. It has the stupidest name.
Yeah.
The stupidest name, so it's like...
That is an Ian Fleming character.
An Ian Fleming guy, for sure. So anyway... So
Kissy galore.
Kissy galore. That would have been somehow better. So anyway, they did a tea ceremony. They get married. He goes to the island where she lives. He's looking like a poor farmer.
Mm-hmm. A poor Japanese farmer.
Poor Japanese farmer. Definitely looks like a Japanese guy, not just some sad
guy wearing
dude.
Makeup and a wig.
At least they didn't give him yellow face. Like, they literally just were like, he barely, I don't even think he actually was wearing eye stuff at all.
I feel like Sean Connery is probably like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, like, he's like, why do we have to do
not out
this?
Of like sensitivity, probably just more like, I think that'd be
I'm
very
not doing
uncomfortable.
That shit. I mean, he hated doing this movie. This is
oh, really?
This is when he started getting tired of being Bond. Like, he was afraid of being typecast. They were cranking these out all the time.
I'm sure he was tired.
He was tired of doing all this.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, I don't want to just do this my whole life.
And sadly, this is, I feel like, what most people know him for.
I know. But this is the thing. They started finding replacements for him at this point. They
started looking. So we're starting to get
we're
the different
to
ones.
Get to the point. Well, they started looking. Who knows how long.
Who knows? It took them a while.
I actually don't know how many more Sean Connery movies we have left.
We'll see.
We'll see. Or will we?
Yeah.
So they go here. Kissy's like, let's go to my house. She says, you sleep in the other bed. And he's like, oh, you're serving me oysters. Well, I guess I won't need these. And he says, why don't we sleep in the same bed? It seems more realistic. We're married. And she's like, you gave a false name to our marriage. It's not real. I do this for business.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, we should keep up appearances. And she's like, no. He's like, all right, fine.
Wow, he actually took bed. No for an answer.
I know, it's crazy. So then the Americans are,
but I'm sure she'll relent eventually.
Right. So the Americans are, doing the countdown to launch their rocket. And then she's like, someone comes in and is like, we got to figure out something. And he's like, I don't know. It was, nothing seems to be changing in this village. And she's like, oh yeah, no, someone went to a cave and they came back dead. It was kind of weird. No one knows why they died. And he's like, can you take me to this cave? And she says, yeah, when we're going out on the fishing fleet, we will then go in the morning and slip away and go to the cave. And then they go on that boat. And this is the most obvious green screen. I don't know why, because they're clearly on a boat out in the ocean. But for some reason, this scene with her on the boat is green screen. I don't know why. She's in a swimsuit. And they go to a cave. And they go to the cave. And immediately Bond's like, quick, jump over. There's gas.
Shit.
And they jump and they swim away. And they're like, there's something weird about this volcano. Like, why is there gas here?
Yeah.
Do you think we can make it up there? And she's like, yeah, I can make it up there. I know how to do that. Of course, it's business. And so they start hiking up the volcano. She's still in the swimsuit. And she gets up there, and they're like, this is some hard work. And he says, yeah, some honeymoon. And then they kiss.
Oh, okay.
You know, they bonded now, I guess, at this point.
They're bond.
They bond. Dubon. So a helicopter flies by and it goes into the volcano. I'm like, how did no one fucking see that the helicopter's going in and out of the volcano? It lands in the volcano. He's like, honeymoon's over. Come on. Yeah. And they go and they look and they're like, wow, there's like a dormant volcano. Has this thing always been dormant? And she's like, yeah, it's been dormant since I've been alive. Like, it's just there. Mm. By the way, her accent was very thick and now it's like
gone.
Almost, it's getting pretty thin. She must have learned quite a lot of English from hanging out with this guy for a day.
Yeah, well,
smart. She's smart, I guess.
She has to be smart. She has the face of a pig.
I guess so. Yeah. So then Americans launch their rocket up there. And, you know, it's going okay so far.
Oh, that's a relief.
Bond investigates the crater. And, of course, she's in a bikini this whole time.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to go these craters are usually pretty deep on the volcano, right? She's like, yeah. He throws a rock and it bounces because it's clearly not a real crater.
Mm-hmm.
And he's standing on it. He's like, this is weird. And then it starts opening. He's like, whoa, there's something under here. Go tell Tiger to head back with every man he's got. And she runs off. And he sneaks in with a balaclava because he's a ninja now.
Of course.
And he uses suction cups to sneak down into the base slowly but surely. And it looks like they're about ready to launch their own rocket to the interception, and it'll be in about 2 hours that'll happen. Mm. So Bond sneaks under the back of one of those monorail things with a solo guy.
Monorail.
And he finds the Americans and the Russians locked up in a prison cell, and Bond just breaks them out.
Whoa.
And he's like, they're like, oh, cool. And then four dudes, the exact number of people that are there,
show up.
And
like henchmen?
Henchmen. Bad guys try fighting them. They all beat them up, and then they replace their clothes.
Yeah.
They steal their clothes and walk in.
What a relief that it was four people that also had the same build.
The exact
and size.
Number.
Yeah.
So then our girl Kissy is getting shot while swimming back by helicopters.
No, not Kissy.
She dives and avoids it.
She dives. Oh.
What a relief. The astronauts are going to go on the launching pad. For some reason, out of all the people who are legitimately astronauts, James Bond is like, I'm gonna get on that fucking ship. So he gets in the astronaut outfit.
This is so dumb.
He goes to the rocket, and I'm like, do the other astronauts like? There's other astronauts there, and they're just like, yeah, I guess you're cool. Like, do you not know that one of your guys is missing? Like, I don't care how big your suit is, you would know that someone else is not you. You know?
Yeah, you think.
Like, even the Hitman video game is like, if you are of a high enough status, you'll get found out in your disguise because like this person obviously will know.
Yeah.
And that game is goofy as fuck.
And these movies are goofier.
And these movies somehow are goofier.
Yeah.
So he gets up to the top there, just about to head in. And then number one sees him and says, stop that astronaut. Bring him to me. Delay the launch.
Mm.
We'll coordinate with the target vehicle. And he says, he brings him over and he says, no astronaut would enter the capsule with your air conditioner. It's like, I know you're fake.
Mm.
And he's like, James Bond, allow me to introduce myself. And he leans forward and you see his face.
What's he look like?
He looks exactly like Dr. Evil.
No, he really?
Well, with like, he's got a little eye, kind of like a scar in his eye.
Oh my God.
But he looks exactly the same. Completely bald, little goofy guy.
With his cat
that he's always petting.
Oh my God.
Straight up Dr. Evil. He introduces himself as Ernest.
Ernst. Okay. Ernest.
Stavro.
Know what I mean?
Blofeld.
Okay, Blofeld.
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 He's number one to me still.
Number one to all Saul. Number one boss.
So then he says, you told me they assassinated you in Hong Kong. You only live twice, Mr. Bond, is actually what he says.
Wow. Well, like, he said the name of the movie.
They always got to say it. If it's not in the song, they got to say it at some point.
They got to say it, yeah.
Because, yeah, he faked his death, right? Like, he got shot up. That was his fake.
Hmm.
So then he says, as you can see, I'm about to inaugurate another world war. And then a new power will kick control. And this poor actor, with this prosthetic across his face to make a scar, he cannot emote worth a damn. Like, he's doing his best, but, like, half his face is just straight up not moving.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, man, poor guy. So then they launch the rocket in space, Spectre does.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a fake Russian rocket. It's got the symbols and everything on the side. So they're going to just keep doing this song and dance.
I also just love that they're like, well, let's just slap a big, you know, like, the hammer and sickle on the
side
of it.
Pretty much it.
Yeah, real subtle.
Another Soviet one. Yeah. I mean, that's their logo, right?
Yeah, it's true.
So, but this time, Tiger and Kissy are there around the...
Good old Tiger and Kissy.
Yeah, they're there near the crater. and they have a whole huge ninja squad ready to assault the crater.
Oh, man.
But
ninja
it's
a, fight.
But it's unfortunately closed. And then they get alerts that there are men around the crater. And they start going to the crater, and they're just trying to hide, waiting for it to open. But then they actually have guns already set up to kill everyone who comes into the crater. So they found them, and they say, open fire, and they start shooting.
All the ninjas are going to die.
Getting shot up.
What about the modern ninjas?
I don't know. They might be okay. And he, Dr. Evil, number one is basically like, hey, so these can annihilate a whole army. We have so many guns up there. They can annihilate everyone up there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can watch it all from this TV. So why don't you watch it, Mr. Bond? All your friends get shot. And he's like, well, if you're going to make me watch this horrible television, can you give me a cigarette? And then...
oh, the cigarette with the missile.
He smokes a cigarette, and he points at just some random guy, and it hits him and kills him. And then they just starts fighting with everyone. And I'm like, you didn't really have to do that. You could just start fighting. Like,
yeah.
But I guess he got one advantage.
Yeah, one guy down.
One guy down. And he starts beating up everyone. And then
why not aim it at number one?
Yeah,
Dr.
Why
Evil.
Not? That'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, so then he starts beating up everyone, and then he opens the crater, and some ninjas start making it in, but most all of them get shot on the way down.
Mm.
And this honestly is the price of admission, because this set is crazy, right?
Yeah,
like they're
doing
all this, like they're having people like drop down from this crater into this huge set, and people just start shooting everyone, and all these ninjas getting killed. And I'm like, oh shit, the ninjas are all getting fucked up. Like, this is bad. But one ninja is smart, and he stays near the rafters, and he plants a bomb on the crater and blows up a hole in the crater.
Oh my God.
So more ninjas can keep coming down, because they eventually do capture Bond and stop him from opening the crater.
Right.
So now everyone starts running.
Sounds pretty cool.
Number one doesn't like that, and he starts telling everyone to throw grenades at everyone that's coming in. So they just start chucking grenades at all the ninjas that are coming in.
Nice.
And then they have this thing where they have, this has been established, but there's like shutters on the like command posts, and they shut the shutter.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been doing that on and off as the rockets launch. So they shut the shutters, and he's like, we're impregnable now. But then there's so many ninjas at this point running in and shooting guns that they start shooting and breaking into the impregnable shutters. And Kissy's also here. I don't know why Kissy's here.
Why is she here? She needs to go home.
She's got, at least she's out of a bikini now.
Oh, that's your relief. What is she wearing now?
I don't know, just like shorts and like a shirt.
Oh, okay, cool. She's very protective.
She's very protective, yeah. I suppose all these ninjas. But then she does get in there and start shooting a couple people. So that's good. She saves Tyre a couple times.
Nice.
So then they start breaking into the place. They figure out ways to actually start breaking in. And I wrote, he kills a Japanese dude who fails him. Oh, yes, yes. Okay. So then number one goes into his little lair, and Mr. Asato or whatever,
failed him.
So he kills him by shooting him while also capturing Bond.
Mm.
And this part actually made me sad, because before he shoots the guy, or when he shoots the guy, the cat in his arm gets scared and it jumps down and like goes and hides around Bond's legs. And I'm like, I feel like it's a real thing that happened.
Yeah.
Because in the next shot, the kitty's gone from the scene.
Yeah, that's cat
like,
was
poor
afraid.
Poor kitty, no.
That cat doesn't know it's acting.
It hides under Hans. I forgot Hans is in this movie. It hides under Hans.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But I thought that was, I don't know. It's like
still sad.
It's still sad.
Yeah.
So then they find a way into the control room Bond does, because it's not too well defended. They find like a little secret passage. He makes his way into the control room by going this little passageway, and a guard pops out, and Bond throws a ninja star and kills the guy.
Cool.
Because he's a ninja now.
Yeah.
He took training for like 5 days or whatever.
Hey, and he also put that wig on.
He put that wig on and that eye stuff on.
Yeah.
So he enters the control room where Hans is there. Not the control room, excuse me. There's like a control room next to the lair, which is more like where the piranhas are.
Mm.
And Hans is there, and they have a fist fight. Eventually, Bond wins, and he throws Hans into the piranha pool and then says, bon appetit.
Oh, my Lord.
He has been saying a lot of puns, so it's kind of, I don't know. This one was
it's
like,
a relief for you.
It's a relief for me.
Yeah.
So then we're cut to NATO, and it's so goofy. I don't know if it's, no, it's the United States. And they say, all units stand by for code word. Our code word is imminent. And I'm like, what does that mean? Does it mean the code word is imminent?
Or
does
it mean that it's
coming
soon? Coming
soon.
Yeah.
Because they see another rocket's about to appear and eat the U.S. ship. But then Bond gets up to the control room, presses the detonate button, because there's a detonate button on the rocket, because what they were planning on doing was grabbing the U.S. rocket and blowing it up. Instead of like capturing it, they're just going to blow it up. But he detonates it. Well, it's very close, I mind you.
Oh, no. Very,
I would feel like it would explode the U.S. rocket.
It would still hurt it, yeah.
It would still do something.
Still look like an offensive attack.
Exactly. But then it just explodes, and the U.S. is like, all right, no worry about the code word. It's not imminent
anymore.
We're
all good. Don't worry about it.
It's good. So then number one's trying to escape at this point. He's run away, mm-hmm. and he's trying to self-destruct the base. So he presses a button, and everyone starts blowing up, and everyone starts running for the tunnels. And then this is the weirdest continuity part I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kissy is now back in her bikini, which is like, what?
Why? How?
How did that happen? Yeah. I just think they just straight up shot it wrong, and they're like, oh, we forgot.
Whatever.
She went back.
Nobody's paying attention. No, everyone's going to be happy. They're going to be
happy
that
she's in a bikini again.
Yeah.
But I was just like, this is absurd. I guess they're busy with this huge set, and they can't do continuity, I suppose.
Yeah.
So then a huge explosion outside. They're getting out. They're escaping through that cave that used to have the gas. They find a way. And there's a huge explosion outside the volcano. And inside the set, it's just explosions so much you can barely see them. Mm. And there's this terrible explosion where you see the volcano. Somehow it's active now and there's lava coming down this
side.
There's
enough explosions.
It looks like complete ass. It is clearly a projection of lava. It looks terrible.
Oh,
and then the whole thing is exploding. And it's
no
just
special
like,
effect award for them.
No, not for this one. And then a plane flies over and drops off life rafts, so everyone gets in the water and they can rescue all the men. And Kissy and Bond can then, I'm like, oh, Kissy and Bond can like fuck now. While
she can Kissy now.
While the volcano explodes. And he's like, now about that honeymoon. And then he says, why? And she says, why? They'll never let you stay. And he says, oh, they'll never find us. And then as soon as he says that, a submarine appears and brings like the lifeboat on the submarine. It gets like caught up in it. It looks pretty funny.
This is the second movie that ended with Bond and a woman in a lifeboat in the water.
But this time they were interrupted, which
that's
is kind of
true,
funny.
That's
last
true.
Time they just got away.
Yeah.
And he's like, they're on top of the sub. And then they're like, I think M is there. And he's like, tell them to come aboard and report. And then credits go. And then it says James Bond way back in Majesty's Secret Service. Her Majesty's Secret
you
Service.
Know, I haven't been keeping my eyes peeled for those like James Bond will be back during the
season. You ever noticed it in y'all? Because
I noticed in the first one.
I didn't see it in Goldfinger. I don't remember it.
I remember it at the end of, I think, From Russia with Love, I believe.
Yeah, I don't remember in Dr. No either.
Yeah, but I don't know.
It's very inconsistent. Yeah. But I think from what I read is that apparently this is what they're, this is going to be a next film. On Her Majesty's Secret Service was supposed to be a next film after Thunderball, but they apparently on Her Majesty's Secret Service required searching high end like for high snowy locations, and that was a lot more difficult than just like Japan.
Right.
So
interesting.
But yeah, it was a movie.
It went places. It really went a lot.
I gotta say, I was entertained, but not in a good way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I was like, this is so much goofy stuff happening. It had a legitimately cool set piece at the end with all the shooting and everything.
I liked moments at the beginning.
I like the goofy, weird plot of the spaceships eating other spaceships and taking them back.
I didn't like the plot of James Bond becoming a Japanese person. That I wasn't a fan of, I'll say.
It was, they didn't have to do the part where they gave him the eyes or anything. But,
yeah.
Yeah, that was weird. I have some little fun notes here that
sure,
I wrote
down.
Sure,
let's hear them.
Spectres, apparently the fortress was going to be in like a castle by the sea, but they're like, oh, apparently Japanese people don't build castles by the sea, so we're going to do an extinct volcano to make it work for everything.
Right.
So apparently the crew was also going to return to the UK on a Boeing 707 flight. On March 5th, 1966, but canceled because they had a chance to watch a ninja demonstration.
Well, there you go.
Which was like cool, but apparently that flight they were going to get on crashed 25 minutes after takeoff and killed everyone on board.
Whoa.
That's crazy.
What a relief.
That's fucking crazy.
That just goes to show that God likes 007 movies.
He really does. He's on the side of them.
Make more.
Let's see. So a scene filming the helicopters from above. So I actually did film helicopters in this one, right? Mm-hmm. Like the helicopter fighting and stuff. Create a major downdraft, and the cameraman John Jordan's foot was severed by a craft's rotor, and then it was surgically reattached by surgeons while they were visiting the country, and then they amputated it in London because they did a bad job, apparently.
Oh my god!
That's horrible!
That's not good. That isn't good.
Anyway, those are my fun facts.
This movie, it's weird actually, because it actually has a character, Henderson, who has a false leg as well.
Really?
Yeah, he's got a fake leg. He lost it in Singapore, he says.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I had all this information about him that didn't matter because he died. So. Yeah,
John Jordan lost it in Japan. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. How many bullet holes do you want to give this one? I don't know.
I don't know if this. I like this one better. I mean, obviously, we're judging our halves, right? So.
Yeah, we have to judge.
Am
the
I how I
we
give
watch.
It 2.5?
2.5?
Yeah. Because, like, that. I can't emphasize how cool that last.
Yeah,
fight section was like a cool set, and just the scale of it was crazy. Like, it was insane.
I think I might also have to do 2.5.
Really?
It's not. It's I really liked how it was written, but I mean, hearing more and more about the ending, I don't know if I could.
You just don't like the part where he is almost yellow face. It sounds.
Yeah.
Like. What about everything else though?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't also. I don't know. That's not a great part.
He doesn't actually do yellow face, like, just this weird eye thing.
Yeah, fair.
And it's
fair.
Done by Japanese people, so. I don't
so
know.
Yeah, if the Japanese, well, yeah, it's written by a Japanese person.
Yeah, Ronald
yeah.
Dahl, most Japanese
yeah,
guy.
Exactly.
Around.
Yeah, exactly.
It was bad and shocking and bad, but like compared to most of his movies, I'm just like, oh, for fucking par for the course. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I guess I'm also just sad that Aki.
Yeah, Aki
died.
That's yeah, he wasn't as much of a creep. Bond wasn't as much of a creep in this one. I feel like it wasn't the last. Movie.
I mean, the movie did open with him saying that women tasted different in different different countries. So I don't know about that.
I guess you're right. I guess in my mind, I'm like, that's just racism.
Yeah, that's true.
And this movie was definitely way worse than racism.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, wait, didn't he also have was that the previous movie with the massage person? That was
the
previous
movie.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
you're right. I don't know. I still.
I'm not gonna change your rating. I was just curious. So
I think
I'm gonna
stick with 2.5.
Okay.
I'm gonna stick with 2.5. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're getting into the shit, but it's shit, but it's.
It's still okay.
They're still doing stuff.
I think we're both in agreement. We're gonna keep going.
I just want to know what, like, now that Sean Connery, I know that he's getting kind of tired of doing this role, and it sounds like he's already signed up to this next one, like they're contracting him in. I'm kind of curious how fucking done with it he's going to look in the next one.
That's what I'm excited about, too. How tired is he going to be?
And then afterwards, I don't even know when the next Bond is. I don't know who the next Bond
Me
is,
neither.
To be honest. Like, all I know is him, Pierce Brosnan, and then
Daniel
Craig.
And
then it's Timothy Dalton's in there somewhere.
Timothy Dalton's in there, and then there's one other guy that nobody likes, and I don't remember who he is.
Yeah, I can't remember him either, but we'll find out, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But we'll see.
We'll see, folks.
But
so
yeah,
we're going to continue
keep it
on.
Yeah, maybe we'll have some guests on in the near future.
Excited.
Do you guys have any thoughts on James Bond or the series? Are we getting it all wrong? Are we watching this incorrectly? Email us. Email at theotherhalfpodcast.com. Find us on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Blue Sky. And we also are on Discord. Check out our Discord. And if you want to listen to our previous episodes, you can find them on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read in the show no matter what it says, even if it is some kind of evil secret plan to eat up a spaceship. Yeah,
SpaceX spaceships.
SpaceX
cool.
spaceship eat those up.
That's something that those the Tesla haters won't do yet.
Yeah,
someday they'll get there though, when they could eat up
some
SpaceX,
spaceships. They're not going to be eating up the Tesla haters.
The Tesla haters.
Yeah,
they'll
eat up spaceships. And I'll be on their side.
So on Her Majesty's Secret Service, I haven't known anything about that one. You haven't looked up anything about it.
I have no idea.
I'm assuming it's Sean Connery. It might not be. I haven't looked up anything, and I kind of like just not knowing what's next.
Oh, I love that. I love just opening it up.
I just look at the name, and I'm like, that's what it is. We're doing it.
I think in this, not this movie, the previous one, I was like, I saw James Bond, but he was like dressed up in like scuba gear. So I was like, this could not be him. Like, this could be anybody.
Could be out of Sean Connery.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But no, it's not
the
case.
He's still there. Collect that paycheck.
Yeah. But yeah, I do want to see how tired he's looking. And eventually I want to see who they replace him with. Because
yeah,
I'm curious as well.
Exciting to see where this franchise goes. And we're at 19. This is 1967 when this came out. So we're not even out of the 60s yet. We've been living here
That's
the whole time.
Crazy.
I know.
It does feel like that, though, with the fashion and all.
But we're 5 episodes in, and I think we're still going strong, baby.
How many more do we have? Good night, everybody.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.